All right, welcome to Spin Tunes 23, round three. I'm going to start us right off by introducing ourselves and our guest. I am Ryan, and I am half of Jerkatorium.
And I am Chumpy, and I am the other half of Jerkatorium.
So together we're two halves of Jerkatorium, and despite the podcast title, we each get a vote. So it's two jerks, two votes this time around. Let me introduce our special returning guest. It's Leonie, also known as Crumpart, and perhaps best known as Hot Pink Halo, although also known as half of Ready Party and some percentage of the band Crime Star. She is a community favorite and a prolific artist with at least 45 song fight songs, 20 Nur Ein songs, and dozens of Spin Tunes songs. She does wonderful visual art too. Video projects, screen prints, oil paintings, acrylics, watercolors, woodblock prints.
Order today!
Line of cuts, etchings, and they're all delightful. And you can see a bunch of it at crumpart.net. That's crumpart.net. And you should check it out. So it's amazing stuff.
Please go to my website and let me show you my etchings.
Yes!
Something.
Your very angular erotic etchings. Your very pointless, well, not pointless, but vectors.
Dots and lines.
Yeah, lines and dots. She's here to review these round three songs. So hello, Leonie.
Thank you. That was a very nice introduction. And I was trying to get to 100 songs this year, but then Micah made me judge. I know I could have shadowed, but I haven't had time. So maybe next week.
He made us judge as well, which is, you know, I think for the best for all the competitors, because we are so awesome.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes, I definitely win all the time. So,
it's good to let Also in Blue have a shot for once.
Yeah.
Also in Blue didn't submit this time.
I was about to say that.
Yeah.
But, like, where do you go after that first song?
Oh, I know.
Yeah.
To be honest.
Yeah, so good. All right, well, I'd sort of primed us for some potential discussions and rants. So does anybody want to start off with theirs, or should I?
Well, I'll start off just by talking a little bit about the challenge. And I don't normally get into the challenge too much at this stage in the podcast, but I feel like this challenge is a little trickier than normal, so I wanted to discuss it a little bit. And the wording of the challenge goes as follows. Write and record a song from the point of view of a fictional or fictionalized narrator. Use your song to convey some knowledge, opinion, or perspective that you, the songwriter, possess, but your narrator does not. And I think this is pretty challenging. So
it's very hard. I'm glad I didn't have to write this song.
Yeah.
Well, when we were talking about, you know, the challenge itself before it was announced, you know, the phrase that went around almost exclusively was unreliable narrator, which is sort of the shorthand term for what was told and what was described in the examples. But I'm kind of surprised that it wasn't made here. And I think that also a lot of the judges may have been expecting, you know, this trope of an unreliable narrator and instead getting something a little bit more.
And was unreliable narrator so not in the description?
It was not, it was although not. I think that was the term that we used when we bandied about the idea.
Yeah, it was definitely Absolutely. What was in my head.
Yeah, me too. And for those of you who aren't familiar, it's a literary device. And one of the famous examples is Edgar Allan Poe has this story called The Telltale Heart, where the narrator keeps insisting how sane he is, and his behavior gets more and more irrational and obsessive, eventually showing pretty clear signs of paranoia, delusion, and guilt. And so this is an interesting challenge because it's an opportunity to explore some of the human characteristics that I think lead to self-delusion. Common ones are like pride, ego, guilt, narcissism, naivete, that kind of thing. But because this challenge is not worded like unreliable narrator, there's another way of doing that where you can use situational irony And if you wanted to tackle it from that perspective, you could write a song from the perspective of selling tickets for the maiden voyage of the Titanic or something like that, where they could humorously tout its unsinkability or how the deck chairs remain in a fixed position or that kind of thing. And the songwriter and listener clearly know that the Titanic is doomed to sink, but the narrator doesn't. And this is an easier way than, I think, the unreliable narrator method of dealing with the challenge.
I think it's probably what quite a few people ended up doing or trying to do more so as well. But because this was such a tough challenge and I was quite busy when we were talking about the challenge, I didn't really input very much. So I've been pretty light on my judgment of the challenge part. Like, I'll bring it up where I think it was done pretty well, but I haven't docked anybody for doing it badly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm exactly the same. I more or less disregarded most of that, and judging based on whether or not I like the song, regardless of, you know, the interpretation or incorporation of the challenge. And honestly, I let a lot of the other judges do that homework for me, because if there was like a serious push to disqualify any of the bands based on like maybe not meeting the challenge as they seem to think that they should, then I would have scrutinized it more. But this challenge, you know, was, I think, conceptual enough that I gave really wide berth for interpretation. And I'm just going on whether or not it was a good song, really.
I think I took a slightly different approach than you guys did on the challenge. So it's not that I docked people necessarily for not really fully embracing the challenge, but I did give a lot of extra credit for people who I thought did a good job with it. And that's kind of important because really our top four rankings decide, in our opinion, who we think should stay in the challenge and who should go. So it is kind of important.
Like, I say I didn't think about it as much, but the songs that are up in the top just did that anyway. Like, they engaged with the challenge well, and I think probably made them better songs as a result of it.
Yeah, I think so too. I think, you know, sketching a detailed character is never a bad idea. I think that always makes for a sort of engaging song.
I did notice that a few people as well went the path that is probably quite clever of choosing a character that already exists and writing from that perspective rather than coming up with something wholesale.
Yeah, like an archetype, for example. That's one really good way of doing that, because then you don't have to spend a bunch of time sort of sketching them. Everybody has it already in their mind.
I don't know. I think I had issues with some of that in a way that I think some of the unreliable narrators, when they were really unsympathetic, made for a song that I didn't really want to listen to. We can get into that later when we get into the individual songs. But yeah, and it sounds weird to, you know, be hedging towards, if you did really great on meeting the spirit of the challenge, then I'm docking you, but which is not true, I'm going to say, but maybe not entirely untrue either, depending on how it was approached. So who knows? But, you know, there's going to be some examples. So, and I don't know if I should get into it now, but I think
we should probably not get into it now. Just,
okay,
we got a lot more to go, at least on the pre-show section too, so.
That's true. That's
I believe
true.
You have at least two more rants.
Yeah.
I do. Yeah. Do you want to hear one?
Sure.
Okay. What do we think about Spin Town's reinstatement? Most rounds, reinstatements fall to the highest ranked eliminated artist from the previous round, who also submitted a song ostensibly as a shadow, but also knowing that they had the possibility of reinstatement, but that didn't happen this time. So
with this, a couple of rounds ago, Micah made us decide whether we cared about whether a song was AI or not. So I was happy to let this one through to Micah this time and make him make the decision.
Yeah. Ultimately, I like that, being able to just, you know, hand something over to the emperor and say, at your discretion, sir.
I mean, I like the idea because while I have not highly ranked any of Spin Town's songs in this contest, other judges have, and I feel like they deserve a shot at getting into the top four. So I was happy. Also, I believe Mike has said that the definitely not secretly Glennie song, he had a hard time justifying how it met the challenge, and he didn't want to promote a song that didn't meet the challenge, because it would have been, you know, oh, we're promoting you and then we're disqualifying you. People wouldn't have liked that.
That's true. That would make no sense, really. And
to be honest, he said that, and then I didn't really do the maths on the song to figure out if it met the challenge or not. I just listened to what he said and said, yeah, okay.
Yeah, I mean, well, again, it's like I thought the challenge is so conceptual that I think you could probably find a justification for having Definitely Not Secretly Glennie's song meet the letter of the challenge anyway. But, you know, it reminded me of a previous spin tune several years ago where it was clear that a reinstated artist would be eliminated for half-assing their shadow. And it went to them anyway. So it's like they submitted a shadow, but it was jokey and really poorly produced. And I'm not going to say any names or anything like that. But they were reinstated anyway because they'd had the points from the previous round, and it was dumb because it was obvious that they were going to get eliminated. And sure thing, they were, you know, I think that they got last place in the next round. So if it's super clear that they're just going to turn around and get eliminated, then why bother with reinstatement? Just like, you know, Chumpy mentioned, if they're going to get disqualified, then why bother with reinstatement? On the other hand, you know, if it was Jerkatorium, then I think we'd feel cheated.
Yeah, I think maybe Micah learned from that experience and didn't want to repeat that.
Yeah.
Was that last time we were both judging?
I don't think so. It might have been 14 when we were judging, and I think so it was
long before,
I don't know if
my
I'm
time.
Yeah. I shouldn't call out the names, but do you remember it, Chubby?
I don't. It sounds okay. Vaguely familiar, but many things do at this stage in my life.
Let's see if I can say it without saying it. It might have been, does that tell you anything? No? Okay, never mind.
I'm not good at charades.
Okay.
First word.
Never mind. I think it was it.
But if only this was a video podcast.
But no, then I wouldn't say it because I don't want to call anybody out. So anyhow, but I'll tell you off mic.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, you know, ultimately I'm fine with it, you know, because in non-reality, I liked a strong fascistic leader. I like an authoritarian person, keeping an iron fist over everything. And I'm kind of surprised because I know that Spintoons used to have that and they used to disqualify people left and right, but that hasn't happened. And I guess that makes sense more or less, but it's also, it's a competition. It's an elimination competition. So why not find an excuse to kick people out? All right, well, I'm just going to roll on to my next item then, if nobody else has anything.
Roll on.
All right. So I'm thinking hopefully at the end of this podcast, I will remember to shout out some songs, which is a different songwriting contest that just started up again after a 20-year break, if I recall correctly. And I still have a lot of songs from that old Some Songs site on my playlists. So I have fond memories and feelings about it. But the organizers consciously scheduled it to overlap Spin Tunes, with their rationale being that they didn't want to risk overlapping Nur Ein. And I'm not sure really how to feel about that. You know, I know that historically, some of the old school songfighters harbor some resentments towards Spin Tunes from stuff that happened literally decades ago. And I kind of wonder whether or not this is continuing fallout from that. But regardless, it looks like they may have sabotaged themselves a bit since round one got only 8 submissions. And honestly, I'd intended to submit a song too, but I ended up having too much work travel for like 3 weeks in a row. And that more or less destroyed my window for songwriting. So anyway, Some Songs is a very old competition that has been resurrected. Go check it out on the Songfight bulletin board. I'm a little leery that it might be a weird passive-aggressive attack on Spin Tunes, but, you know, if it generates more wonderful music, then all the better, and I fully support it.
Is it one where if we didn't enter the first round, we can enter the second round?
Yes, though I do not understand.
Yeah. Again, I didn't have time.
There was some explanation about it, and from the scores that I looked at, it looks like if you join late, then to have any hope of getting up the scoreboard, you're going to have to ace
be
it
really
every
good.
Time.
Yeah.
And
I mean, obviously, you know, I'm going to do that.
Oh, yeah. But you're also going to have to stab some of your competitors. So, yeah. Oh, but yeah. So, like, with this first round of some songs, Emperor of Spin Tunes Micah Summersmith submitted an excellent G&B song, and y'all should give it a listen on SoundCloud.
Is that G&B. Guitar and banjo?
Wow, like that would be awesome.
Just guitar and banjo.
Oh, man, that's going to be my next submission.
What's,
no,
what's
it's
B?
What's bass.
B?
Bass guitar.
Ah, ooh,
I should have said
exciting.
GBG. But yeah, no, it's very, very good. And he scored really well too, so it's good.
I'll have to go and listen now that I'm not listening to all these songs just on repeat.
You know, it's interesting that some songs, they made the decision to have their judges be completely anonymous. So the judges have names like Mr. Black, Mr. Orange, Mr. Pink, and not their actual board names or whoever they are.
I'm not fond of an anonymous judge. I prefer people knowing who I am and knowing who is judging me. Not for any particular reason. Like, I know in Nerine they anonymize them, but then they also change them every week. Like, Mr. Black might be a different person the second week,
yeah.
So you can never tell if somebody's judging you consistently or not. Which
I think it just allows judges to escape accountability.
Yeah.
But it makes sense. People harbor all kinds of bad opinions
yeah.
about you for the
I mean,
things that
yeah.
you say. And I often say some pretty ignorant stuff about people's songs. So,
well,
I occasionally revisit that thread of the person who went on a rant about me for 5 hours. You can either leave that in or cut it out if you want to.
I don't know what that case is, so you have to explain that to
one,
me.
That was the one, the last Spin Tunes that we judged together, where I mentioned that something in the person's song might be sexist.
Oh, yes, I remember that.
They went on for about a full day saying about how upset they were and I was a witch and something, something.
They might have proved themselves to be an unreliable narrator.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on.
Well, there's a bit of a hack, I believe, for unmasking some of the judges, though, is that Mr. This Color or That Color also coincidentally posted lyrics from some of the submitters' songs. So they're showing up under Mr. White having submitted for Von Vorten or, you know, something like that. So
their operational security is not the best.
Exactly. A little glitch here. But it doesn't matter. I like the idea of people standing behind their reviews by posting not anonymously. And I like that, at least in part, because when that doesn't happen, we occasionally get some pretty trollish behavior historically. And I think Chumpy knows what I'm talking about with somebody who reveled in being anonymous. I don't know.
Someone who really liked the word pastiche, if I recall.
This is some deep cuts, but so maybe we should move on.
You just edit all that right out.
Yeah. Anyhow. Okay. So let's see. Let's move towards the songs anyway. I'm going to mention again, the Spin Tunes 23 round 3. The challenge was called Listen Between the Lines, Write and Record a Song from the Point of View of a Fictional or Fictionalized Narrator. Use your song to convey some knowledge, opinion, or perspective that you, the songwriter, possess, but your narrator does not. And my own sort of thought before we get into specific songs, did almost all of these songs really stink? Or have I just been in a bad mood all week?
No, there are some great songs in here.
Okay, we might just be getting mean Ryan.
On the first listen, I was not wowed for the most part. But on subsequent listens, it's like, oh yeah, this is actually quite good.
Okay.
And maybe I was just grumpy when I first listened to them.
Yeah, we might just be getting grouchy Ryan this week, which people like or dislike, but it's what you're getting. All right.
True to form.
All
but
right,
yeah, it's a good reminder that you shouldn't just judge songs on one listen. Like, I know that there's some judges who even, like, they limit their listen to 3 listens. I don't. I've listened to these songs so many times. It's absurd.
Yeah.
Yeah, I spent all day listening to them, like, on repeat while I was working. And then
when I write the reviews, I put the song that I'm writing the review for on repeat while I'm writing the review as well. Just for shits and giggles. That's not going to happen this week because I'm recording a podcast. Thank you so much for having me on this week. I've been really busy and would have been too busy to write reviews. So being able to do this has made my life much easier.
Excellent. Excellent. It's serendipity then. All right. So just like last time we had you on the podcast, there are 13 competing spin tuners this round. And but this time there are also 6 shadow entries. I think last time there were only 3. I guess let's get started.